You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's day two of the mad free agent scramble, and the Texans found a potential starting cornerback, among other things. Hello, everybody. I'm your host, Robert Land, with the Houston Sports Talk Podcast, alongside Brian Patterson from House of Houston. Welcome to Locked On Texans. We are your best daily source of Texans news, views, and interviews. So much to talk about this week. We are also part of the FanRag Sports Network, if you're just joining us for the first time. And Brian, are you ready for this? You ready to talk a little free agent stuff? It's like Christmas around here.
Exactly. Get Santa out with the sleigh and the presents and just have everybody have at it, because it looks like Brian Gaines, like, hey, he's the Santa Claus. He's got the beard and he's giving us gifts. He got us. We're going to talk about all this on the show, but you know, we've got some key guys that could really help us out there. So I'm really excited. Just in this past free agencies over the years, you know, I wasn't really looking forward to it because it was going to be the same damn thing. You know, draft very heavily and then try to have the undrafteds try to do the job. And you just can't do that. And that's why Brian Gaines comes in and says, I want guys that are ready to make a commitment, ready to make a contribution to this team.
Right.
Like it's a great start for him.
Right. Joining me and Brian is our Locked On Texans correspondent, Jordan Brown. The Texans look to have locked up cornerback Aaron Colvin. That was maybe the biggest move of the day, who was a fourth rounder for the Jags a couple of years ago. Our friend Zach Goodall, who covers Jacksonville for the Locked On Network, told me Colvin, he thinks he's a number two corner on a good NFL team. Obviously, we know the Jags have two of the best in Boye and Ramsey. Goodell said, they would have kept him, but he wasn't worth the money to play slot corner, and that's all he would have been for the Jags, of course. Jordan, what did you think about adding Colvin?
Oh, man, I mean, it's in terms of the corners, which, I mean, they're still going to need work. It's probably the best position we could have figured out, especially for the defensive side. The safeties are relatively decent when the corners aren't putting them in bad positions. But time and time again, it's always that corner spot that's gotten us, that deep tight end route or that speed wide receiver on the inside. And I mean, Pro Football Focus's stats, they all back it up. But Aaron Colvin is, I mean, practically about as good, if not the best corner you're going to get for a slot position. So I think it's a very good pick for it. Was probably at least in my top five for favorite free agent prospects. So I was ecstatic when I saw we were able to sign him up.
To be honest, I didn't even know he was available. I thought they were just going to hold on to him. But, you know, you got a glut at that position. You might as well, you know, go on and let the guy go, because they're going to get compensatory picks, of course, for that, just like we did with AJ Boye. So, it'll be interesting to see how he fits with this scheme, but we need all the help we can get with that unit. So I totally agree.
Didn't really address the safeties. Jordan, were you shocked that we haven't seen anything as far as addressing the safeties yet? I mean, one thing that I'm seeing so far, and I don't know what you think, Jordan, is it looks like instead of trying to make, you know, one of these big splash moves, they're going to try to make a lot of little splashes. Now, that there's still a few hours to go before we hit the official free agent time, and there's still Solder is still out on the market. Nate Solder, that guy is one of the big fish of the entire free agent market. But to me, it looks like they're kind of going little by little and hitting as many spots as they can.
Yeah, it definitely seems to be like that for the main part. But I will say, though, it's really hard to not get ahead of yourself. But the big signing day is going to be tomorrow. So I'm really just holding out hope that they're getting the little details ones out of the way, but they're getting the chunk players figured out for tomorrow, making sure they get their best deals and everything. But that might just be me trying to wish too well. But I mean, all in all, though, I don't think we really need to make a move in safety. I would, in terms of how we rate it out, I would really like to see Marcus Grillkirst back at least for another 1 or 2 years, just as a transition guy. But as long as we're not getting burnt in the slot and have some degree of respectable guys on the outside, I feel pretty good about the safety setup. And if you look at Aaron Colvin, he's, in terms of the free agent market, he was about top 15, top 20 in terms of outside corner coverage, but he placed sixth in terms of corner slot performance, according to Pro Football Focus stats. But the key on that is he allowed the lowest yards per cover snap. So in terms of being able to solid up that inside and not allow people to get into the big openings and to expose safeties, I don't think we could have gotten anybody better to fix that. So, no, I don't think we need to do that much with safeties, especially as long as we figured out this corner situation or the slot situation, sorry.
Yeah, and I just want to piggy off of what you said, Jordan, just with his cover snaps. Here's an interesting stat by Pro Football Focus. Cover snaps per touchdown allowed. Since 2014, he is leading that. You have to have a minimum of 1,200 covered snaps, but per touchdown allowed, 728 cover snaps per touchdown allowed. So it takes that many snaps before he actually gives up a touchdown. And the closest guy is Tremaine Johnson, 283. Chris Harris Jr. with the Broncos, 281. Adam Jones, Pac-Man, 278. And Orlando Scandrick with the Cowboys, 265. So he is just, you know, way ahead. He is just blazing, you know, as far as his coverage. This guy does not give up touchdowns, and that is a great thing to have. And with the cornerbacks with zero touchdowns allowed, and that's with 500-plus coverage snaps, includes the postseason, Aaron Colvin is right there. He has given up through 531 coverage snaps, one interception, and that's about it. Marshawn Lattimore is the other guy with 540 coverage snaps and five interceptions. So that's with zero touchdowns allowed. So, I mean, nothing gets past this guy. He's like the Great Wall. You know, we got to think of a nickname for him, but you know, I'm already excited with all these stats that I'm seeing from Pro Football Focus, what they're coming out with. This is going to be a great guy to show up the secondary.
He was a slot cornerback for them, Jordan, but I thought you just said you don't think he's going to be one or two guy for the Texans, because that's kind of what I would think. I mean, I'm guessing that they want to move Kareem into more slot and more safety coverage because, you know, he just looks really mediocre at best, and we've seen him really do his best maybe when he was used more as a slot corner, and we've been talking about moving him to safety for years, and it even looked like we were going to do that last year.
Yeah, I mean, that's very, very possible, just because we'll be able to make more out of less. We get to use a guy on our roster already at that position that we need. But one thing I will got to say to the point that Brian was saying, it's like he has these incredible stats in the slot, but you also got to remember who he's got on the outside. So when you're an offense looking at it, you're looking at AJ Boye and Ramsey. Who are you going to have to throw to? You're probably going to be throwing to Colvin. And that's the thing that's kind of crazy, is you have these two top guys, they're going to probably test the weakest link, which is going to be their third string corner, and he's still putting up that kind of production. So I would love to see Kareem or even maybe Jonathan Joseph at safety, but I mean, at the end of the day, when you have that kind of secondary, and I'm guessing, I mean, just that much pressure, I mean, I definitely don't want to be throwing at Jalen Ramsey or AJ Boye, but I mean, when you look at Colvin, it's really difficult on that level too. So it might have to be a rotating thing. I know from what I had seen, Houston's trying to bring Colvin in just to see where he fits best on the outside or on the inside, and he certainly has the versatility to do that.
Texans also grab a tackle, Shontrell Henderson, the seventh pick by the Bills back in 2014. And I know there's a bunch of you out there that feel this way. A lot of you gripe that the Texans, well, they don't deal with guys who have character issues. Well, we can talk about some stuff with Shontrell Henderson. A couple things. In 2012, he was involved in a car accident while driving to a friend's funeral, ran a red light, crashed into a car carrying a family of six. Two children in the car were transported to the hospital. On the surface, could look like an accident, but Henderson was cited for driving with an expired license and running a red light. So not great. You know, maybe a college kid's mistake, and maybe that's how you can look at it. He also, a little more seriously for his personal health, contracted Crohn's disease since entering the NFL. And since then, he's been suspended twice for drug violations. He says he used the marijuana to deal with the pain from having his intestines removed in this process. But keep in mind, he had three suspensions at Miami for marijuana, so he had a history going into all that. So it doesn't look like too good of an excuse when you see his history, although, you know, maybe it was a different circumstance. Let's go to Henderson, Jordan, and get your thoughts on What did you see about him as just as a player was concerned?
I mean, as a player, obviously for a lot of his career, he's had issues with different suspension issues, which isn't great, especially when, I mean, the best ability is availability. It looks like from this year, he only played about a total of not even 50 snaps, only at 47. But even then, he rated really above average in all categories. Where he's just as overall as a blocker in the past defense and on run blocking. So, I mean, I don't think you can expect him to fill in and be a full-time starter, but for the snaps that he's been out there, he seems somewhat serviceable. So it's definitely an upgrade from what we have, at least in a small degree.
Yeah, with Chantrell, just with Pro Football Focus with his numbers, certainly he is very decent at his position. Just looking at his numbers, he is a overall grade of a 69.3, so he's right at passing. I mean, that's still, when you look at the offensive line from last season, we talked about this ad nauseum, Rob, ad nauseum. I just want to make sure I'm clear on that one, that, you know, 69.3 is still pretty good. When everyone is averaging in the 30s, you know, you've got a quality guy that's going to be able to come in. He is a better run blocker marginally than he is a pass blocker. His grade is a 71.8 for 2017, and pass block is 69.4. He did not take a lot of snaps, but again, in this offensive line, in this offense, he will. There's no doubt about it. And I think he is a solid pickup. I wouldn't say that he is a lock to make the team. I mean, we have brought him in, but if as long as he is decent, he's going to make this team considering what we have had. But Aaron Colvin, there is no doubt. This guy is a starter day one, week one. Put him out there because we need the help, all the help that we can get. But it'll be interesting to watch Chantrell throughout camp. And just with the things that you mentioned, Rob, in regard to what happened, I think it was just a matter of him. He seems like a good kid, but just seems like he was at the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, just not making the right decision. And, you know, I guess we can all relate to that in some situations in our life, but it's good that Texas gave him a chance.
Yeah, it's not terrible what happened in his personal issues, but you know, we see the Texans, you know, constantly be concerned about anything personal related. And the only reason I bring up the marijuana thing, I mean, to me, it's not a big deal. I think to most of America, honestly, if you took a vote, marijuana thing is not a big deal. But when you're trying to stay on a football field in the NFL, it's a big deal. And the Crohn's disease, I get it, but you know that there is that history with him at Miami. So I just thought that was all worth bringing up. You know, take it for that. In just a bit, we're going to go back to a player the Texans, supposedly to agree to a deal with on Monday. But first, let me remind you new listeners that if you're enjoying Locked On Texans, tell your friends, let them know they can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Spotify. Tons of ways for you to put us on your phone and keep you company in that rush hour traffic or at the grocery store or when you're maybe walking the dog or out of the house for whatever reason. We're the place to go. Now, we talked about the guard who the Texans agreed to sign yesterday, Jordan, and that's Zach Fulton. And you had a piece on LockedOnTexans.com. Your thoughts on that move, what did you think about Fulton and how do you look at him as far as a fit for the Texans?
Oh, I mean, even beyond the Texans, honestly, I practically assumed just going into this free agency that we weren't going to be somebody competing for Andrew Norwell, not in no way because of a talent issue, just simply because he was going to demand so much money. But the reason I didn't think we were going to do that is almost specifically because of Zach Fulton. There's a lot of other depth in terms of people in the O-line free agency, but Zach Fulton had everything you really want to look for. He was one of the very few players, if not the only other one, that allowed zero sacks or zero hits at offensive guard. Andrew Norwell was the only other one to do that. But the thing that was very interesting with Fulton is when he's playing guard, he allowed only 5 total hurries compared to 13 of Norwell. So he performed better overall in terms of hurries than Norwell did. He didn't play as many snaps there, but that was not because he wasn't good enough. It was more so because he had the versatility to be able to play in center as well. And I think that's a very, very good thing for us to have, because he can come in and, from what I can tell, be a very, very serviceable, if not all pro level lineman at guard. But if for whatever reason we need somebody at center just to have that extra backup, I feel like he's pretty much the best guy to have on the team that's available. So it's not to say that he's necessarily perfect. He's had issues. I know, I think sometime last year, I think in the game that, or 2 years ago when we were playing the Chiefs in the playoffs, he had a snap that went over Alex Smith's head. They ended up getting a safety on that play. So like there's issues, but to that point, if we can have Nick Martin stay healthy and progress, then we won't need him at to play at center. And from what we can tell, is as good as you can ask for at guard. The only thing I will say though on that accord is in terms of what Pro Football Focus has him rated, he is, in terms of pass rating, he rates at about an 88 in terms of pass protection, which is in the top five, I believe, in terms of overall offensive guards, but he's really below average in terms of run blocking. So in terms of being able to run up in the middle, I don't think that's the greatest thing for us, but if we're being honest with ourselves, we're not a team that's really good at running between the tackles. So maybe it's a good thing that we have to kind of shy away from that.
And we're not going to rebuild the offensive line overnight. Yeah, we're just trying to get some parts in here that can be decent. And it's just going to take some time for that unit to be as stout as other units are across the league. But I think it's really a step in the right direction with that guy, with Zach Fulton, you know, potentially being brought in. And from what I understand, Aaron Wilson tweeted out earlier that the Texans are still interested in him. Apparently a deal, you know, hasn't been struck, but apparently it's still going to happen. But again, it's just one of those situations where he's still better than what you had. Because this guy scores up in the, right. And he scores right up in the, I believe, in the high 70s. So he is good at what he does. And like you mentioned, with the versatility, that has been the hallmark of the Bill O'Brien era. Can you do more than one thing? Because if you can't, what's the value on this team? And he certainly could switch around. Because with Nick Martin's health, you just don't know if he's going to be available. At least you have Fulton in your back pocket. He can slide over the center, and then whoever we've got at the guards, we can just move them over. I'm pretty sure they have more plans as far as the guys that are going to be bringing in, but you have to work on Fulton, and he's probably not going to cost you a whole bunch of money. Latest rumors are he's going to probably want between $7 to $8 million a year. That is easy when you have about $65.7 million to spend.
Guard and center, Brian. What's the magic word that I always say Bill O'Brien loves? What's the magic word?
It is versatility. Ding, ding, ding.
There you go. I mean, he's got it.
Do I get the $1 million or what?
The Texans, I tell you what, if they get everything done that we're seeing that they've got done, there's no argument with this. They've already had a good free agency when people are listening. Hopefully by that time, maybe they've added a big fish like Nate Solder and of course, we still got to talk a couple of other positions that they're going to have to work on. But, you know, picking up Fulton and Colvin for sure, those are really good moves to solidify a couple of areas that you were really concerned about going into next season. Now, who did they scratch off their shopping list Tuesday that they could not add? Who else were we thinking maybe the Texans would be involved with? Well, one of them was cornerback Malcolm Butler. He signs with the Titans. Guard Andrew Norwell is headed to Jacksonville. Those are two major names. They land with division rivals. Jordan, they might not seem like they were worth the money if you thought, oh, that's a ton of money to give to those two guys. But the one thing you hate is seeing them improving divisional teams.
Yeah, that's definitely for sure. And in terms of just on paper, I mean, the Titans are about as good as you can get. So adding that kind of experience really doesn't help. But, I mean, even that still being said, like, in terms of the corners, it's not good that we lost him, but I still have Colvin as a better overall performer, especially for the money. I mean, it's definitely going to help him. There's no doubt on that, but it's one of those things I just – yes, he's shown the ability to kind of improvise and make really, I mean, obviously game-changing plays. But at the end of the day, it's just – I just don't know if he's necessarily worth that high-end money or if I would – rate him as like that high end of a corner. And it's not to say that he's bad, it's just, I mean, that's a lot of money, and especially compared to some of the other guys that I wasn't blown over the top with him. as compared to others, I felt like they were building it up a little bit. But that still being said, I really don't like that all these high-end talents are still going in our division. It's definitely starting to be the AFC South is not a pushover division anymore. That is for sure.
Yeah, as it should be. And in with the guys that they're looking at replacing, you think about how stout that particular unit is for the Titans. I believe they've got McCourty still over there, if I'm not mistaken. So you've got him doubled up, and he's still got a lot left in the tank. And then you got Malcolm Butler, who is going to be, you know, your top corner. And but then you look at Jacksonville, who are they looking to replace? Jeremy Parnell was still very solid last season with the Jags, so I doubt he would be the replacement. But you look at Cam Robinson, which they invested a lot in him. I mean, Andrew Norwell is going to be replacing one of those guys, so somebody's going to get cut. But Cam Robinson, at least from last season, it was less than desired. I mean, he had a 37.6 Pro Football Focus grade overall. So you wonder where they're going to put Norwell on that offensive line. But Blake Bortles is going to have plenty of protection next season. There's no doubt about that.
Guys, the Texans still looking for tight ends. Jimmy Graham, we thought maybe he was somebody that could come to Houston. He signs with Green Bay. Trey Burton is heading to the Bears. Like James Taylor likes to do, cornerback Breshard, I'm going to screw the name up, cornerback Breshard Breeland's going to Carolina. I can't sing James Taylor, but he's going to Carolina. And quarterback Trumaine Johnson is scooped up by the Jets. So a couple of cornerbacks that, you might have been interested in if you were the Texans, but they got Colvin, so that's great. Anybody that I'm missing, Jordan?
Well, in terms of real tight ends, or not specifically tight ends, but targets in general, there's actually a few offensive linemen that really just blows me away that they haven't been talked about, really. There's been an absurd amount of talk with Nate Solder, but there's another guy on the other side of that tackle, Nate Fleming, Cameron Fleming, I apologize. And at the end of the day, yes, Solder's got the experience, but in terms of who's put out the best stat sheet for efficiency, Cameron Fleming's the guy out there. It's really not close. He doesn't have the full degree of snaps that Solder does, but he's got a versatility about him that really works. He allowed 4 sacks, which wasn't great, but he wasn't allowing any hits and very few hurries compared to anybody else. And that's the thing that really concerns me with the Nate Solder rumors is, yes, you get the experience, but he allowed 41 QB hurries last year. And as far as I understand, that was, in terms of free agents, by far the worst as offensive tackles go in terms of blocking a rush. And I don't remember if you remember, I sure do. We had a very hard time stopping a rush like that. So I don't think at the end of the day that Solder is really our best overall bet just because of that. I mean, yes, he has the experience, but 41 rushes is not good, especially compared to somebody like Chris Hubbard, who already got signed, but he only allowed 24 hurries. And that was the only one that was even close to QB hurries in terms of tackles. So I'm not saying that there's no method to it, but I think that it's a little overblown in terms of this efficiency that Nate Solder has. So I would love to keep an eye out on Cameron Fleming. He just doesn't have as many snaps under him. And then beyond that, I really enjoyed for a D tackle, which isn't necessarily what we need, but I do know one thing in terms of whatever your team's depth is, you got to capitalize on that. Benny Logan is a defensive tackle that really, really stepped up in terms of not missing tackles. He was the 6th best ranked overall D tackle in the league in general. On 254 snaps this year, he missed 0 tackles. And I feel like on any line, anywhere in the league, having somebody that has well over 200 snaps to their name that doesn't miss a tackle, that he's always got a place in my book. And then as a little bit of extra depth, also the guard, Josh Klein. He's rated the 28th over. Yeah, he's rated the 28th overall best guard. He had 553 plays, only allowed 1 sack, 0 hits, 18 hurries. And like I said, I mean, 553 snaps is pretty much the most on the board of anybody. Only 1 sack allowed there. I mean, there's a lot of depth out there still for the offensive line, especially in the guards. So yeah, I would like to see Solder, but at the end of the day, if you're going to take one tackle from the Patriots, I've definitely got to say take both of them and go ahead and grab Klein while you're at it.
And what I say to that, Jordan, amen, because I took the pen to paper on Josh Klein. You know, if we
can't get
one of the Pats, we'll go on and take Josh Klein, because I mean, he is still, you know, at prime age. I think he's in his late 20s. I believe he's 28. And I looked up his numbers when I wrote the piece, and they were pretty solid. So I wouldn't mind having that guy around, and you may not have to pay that much to get him. I think he's just one of those under the radar guys, as you mentioned.
Exactly. And one other guy I forgot also, just because I know it's a need. It's nothing great, but especially with CJ Fedorowicz with his concussion injuries, hopefully he gets better by all means. But if we don't have him, Antonio Gates is sitting out there. He led everybody for tight ends. He's been not dropping passes. So if we want a consistent pass catcher as a tight end, I mean, there's pretty much one of the best players that's ever done it out there.
Yeah, we'll see how much money is left in Brian Gaines' back pocket. I mean, you guys are asking for a lot of stuff there.
We had a lot to fix.
Yeah, well, there's no question. They had their share of holes to fix, but the draft is still coming up, so that's a possibility. There's stuff to do out there. I want to talk about some of the big-name signings, because the quarterbacks were pretty busy in the last couple of days. But just a quick reminder to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, email us at LockedOnTexans@mail.com. If you forget any of that, just check the show description of the podcast. It's right up there. Save our website, LockedOnTexans.com, in your favorite tabs, and take a few seconds to rate us on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. Let's get back to the big names around the league. And that millisecond when we thought Drew Brees might hit free agency, well, that's over with. He's back with the Saints. But the big QB news, guys, our old friend Case Keenum heading to Denver. A Texan quarterback is going to end up with the Broncos? Where have we heard that before? What did you think?
Yeah, as far as my thoughts on that situation, and I think Kubiak is still a consultant with the team, so you know, maybe somehow he can work with them a bit, because I believe that, you know, he had some great performance with Kubiak, and you know, Mike Zimmer, you know, did a great job with them as well. I mean, he's got all the weapons. I don't see any reason why he couldn't succeed with all of that. I mean, they definitely, with Case Keenum, they can be a playoff team. And honestly, it was just a situation where, you know, I wouldn't say it's an act of desperation to get Case Keenum. It was good that they were able to get him, but I don't think they would have been able to have a successful season without a good quarterback out there. And just Trevor Siemian, I mean, he was good for the time while he was there, especially when Kubiak was coaching. And also Brock Osweiler, you know, that's a huge disaster there. But I really think, and I'm rooting for Case to succeed with the Broncos.
We know you are. I know.
I'm kind of biased. Kind of biased.
Well, we all love Case. He's a good guy. The Cardinals' new QB is Sam Bradford, 1 year, $20 million, with an extra year and a $20 million option on top of that. I don't know, Jordan. Am I the only one that's amazed at how much money Sam Bradford continues to make for barely playing football?
It's really, whoever his agent is definitely needs a raise. That's for sure. It really is amazing. He goes, I mean, a high-end talent coming out of college, but I mean, he's never really performed to that degree, but every single year they always treat him like he's the cream de la creme. And I mean, he's not bad, but man, he just keeps on chugging for not really playing much. It's not a bad gig.
When you think about his earnings, I think this guy's well on his way to $250 million as far as the money he has picked up with contract, fat contract after contract. And I might be a little off, maybe a little closer to $200 million, maybe a little south of that. But my gosh, considering how injured he has been throughout his career, Lord, you know, bless him, because he's like the Chandler Parsons of the NFL.
Yeah, he looks pretty too. That's you mentioned Chandler Parsons. That's what I was thinking. He looks kind of pretty.
Yeah.
Hey, earlier we talked about the Jags adding Norwell. They also lost Allen Robinson. He signs with the Bears. So they gain one, they lose one. Of course, Robinson didn't play last year, but maybe that's something positive for the Texans to take away from what their division rivals were doing. Just want to get your final thoughts on Texans free agent maneuvers. Do you like him so far? What do you think? Where would you put it? Whoever wants to jump in first.
So far, I would definitely give the Texans I would give them a solid B, because, you know, they are fulfilling needs. Still not sure what Chantrell is, what his role is going to be when he gets here. Could he be just a body? He may be the body that we need. But Aaron Colvin obviously serves a purpose. We immediately become a better unit with him online. It'll be interesting to see who they couple with him, because, you know, they were talking about that Jonathan Joseph may be brought back to you know, to go alongside with him, which I wouldn't be opposed to. But I would tell, you know, Jonathan Joseph and his agent, I mean, if you want to go field out other offers, go ahead, because we're going to be looking at other options. But we're interested in you, but we're still looking at other options. So, yeah, I would definitely sign him only if we were out of options. And that's no disrespect to him, but you got to consider the output he has had. You know, he's steadily declining, but he was still the best corner in that unit last year, you have to admit.
Yeah, and I think with Joseph, I don't know what you think, Jordan, but you know, he's somebody that I don't think is going to cost a ton of money. And
no.
When you go out there and you're getting these other guys off the free agent market, maybe better players, with better players means more guarantees up front, which cuts into the money that you got to spend in total for this whole free agent class. So any final thoughts for you, Jordan, just on the class itself, who the Texans have, we think they've picked up, according to Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter and all the you know, I call them the Adrian Wojnarowskis of the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, for where we are right now, I definitely think it's really good. I do think that we're trying, in my opinion, hopefully that we're trying to figure out the last big details come tomorrow. So, yeah, I really don't see any excuse for them not to. Pretty much everybody in the team is kind of in a way on a hot seat. I mean, from O'Brien all the way up, like, they got to start making moves. This year and the next year, with the way their cap space is, with the quarterback, with a defense that can be elite but is starting to age, like, now's the time. And that still being said, we went and go and get Colvin, who is by far the best guy to fix our slot issue. No doubt that on its own is a big improvement. I do still expect to see a little bit of a splash tomorrow, but all in all, yeah, probably about a B, just with the assumption that there's going to be a few more splashes coming tomorrow.
Yeah, people are listening to this maybe tomorrow, and we're doing this Tuesday night, just so people know. People might be listening to this on a Wednesday and going, oh, you haven't talked about this guy that the Texans just got in the morning. So we're basing this on what they did so far on Monday and Tuesday, just so everybody knows. But yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any argument. I mean, they made some nice under-the-radar moves that, you know, remember, I mean, that Nnamdi Asamoah, and everybody was disappointed when they didn't get him, but they ended up with Jonathan Joseph and Daniel Manning. And to me, that looks like more what they're doing. They're getting those guys that are just under everybody's radar a little bit, unless you're a big NFL fan and you've really done your homework. So all that's worth taking into account. Jordan, hey, thanks so much for doing this. Everybody should go read your stuff over on LockedOnTexans.com. I'm sure you're going to have a couple more pieces in the next few days, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's that season for it, so we'll be chugging along. I'm not exactly sure we'll be up right next, but we'll definitely be looking at it, probably starting a bit more with corners, and hopefully we figured out the O-line, but there's a lot of rookies and things I'm still looking at. So it's a good time. I think there's a lot of options here coming forward.
Great work. Thank you so much, man. Hey, if you're a fan of the show, want to remind everybody, just record a message for us in the voice memo of your phone or however you might want to do it, and email the voice memo to LockedOnTexans@mail.com. That's LockedOnTexans@mail.com, and we'll use it in the show, kind of like this.
Hi, Robert and Brian. My name's Justin. I'm a relatively new listener to the podcast, but it's certainly my favorite and my go-to podcast for Texans news. So I just want to say a big thank you for everything you do. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for listening, Justin. And Brian, he had an interesting question, which we're going to circle back to in a few days when free agency dies down. If anybody out there has got a question, you can record the question for us too. That'd be awesome. Just Justin did this. That's what he did. And we're going to look into that later on. Final thoughts, Brian, before we go into Wednesday, anything before we close up shop?
I would just say that, day three of, since this has been going on, since the legal tampering period started, I think you're going to see the fireworks tomorrow. I think we're going to see how things are going to shake out, with this, free agency coming together. I would expect to see Zach Fulton inked by tomorrow. But I do see another offensive lineman out there to be signed. I really do. I think we can address safety, hopefully, you know, before training camp, maybe even before, you know, I don't know if we can get that done in the draft, because again, you're going with guys that are not going to necessarily be ready, you know, when you're going in the third round like that and beyond. But those are the main things. We need some more offensive linemen. We do need some more secondary guys. And I think once you start filling, it's going to be an interesting thing. So good job, Brian Gaines, so far. I hope that you continue to keep in mind what we need for this team.
And they might have to go for tight end and backup quarterback on the cheap. Those are the other two real needs that we really think about in all of this. Brian's got everything covered in Houston Sports on House of Houston, a fan site affiliate. Go check out everything that him and all of his staff does on houseofhouston.com. Subscribe to my Houston Sports Talk podcast to hear me and my co-host and friend. Oh, my goodness, it's been 32, 33 years now. RG Seal, we argue with each other about Astros, Rockets, Texans, and whatever else comes to our crazy minds. That's a wrap for this one. We'll be back with you tomorrow with, God, we hope it's some more really fun Texans moves and free agency. As always, thanks for making us a part of your week.
You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.